calling Dorothy Jane with T-System South. I'm so sorry that I missed your call, but if you'd leave your name and number, I would love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband making yet another call on video because I have some images I'd like to share and there are a number of things you might want to know about now or in the future, maybe you or somebody else. Just as reference, I did send you a text today and I wouldn't be surprised that it was blocked, but let me just read it. I said, no matter what you do this day, my love for you is unabated, grace is offered, and reconciliation pursued. So, because my understanding is that you or a representative of you appeared in court today in North Carolina. Obviously, I didn't. And I don't know what happened. And my assumption is I won't find out till the end of the week, next week, whatever. My pursuit of reconciliation will continue because I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting because I did send a email to you the day that the two sheriffs, two, not one, I got two this time. The police only sent one for Meadowview. You sent, I got two to come. Amazing. But I did send you, that was on April 20th. And, you know, in that, for example, I made a comment about how you quoted me as, I don't care, my lawgiver is Lord Jesus Christ. And because you left a connotation that I'm evil and after you. And, of course, I did give you the full quote. I want to make my case from the state law. Or if you want to make your case from state law, then I simply don't care. My lawgiver is Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know about him? Let me tell you about him. Well, I'll finish it. He is the creator of the universe and sustains it this very moment. He is the one who is a sole authority and sets down the clear rules for us, his creation, to obey. He has made it easy by summarizing his commands into two very clear laws, to love him and to love each other. I'm striving to live in obedience to him. Please consider joining me. You promised you would. And, you know, that is an issue. And one of the things I have found is that when you point out something to people and they don't want to admit it, again, it goes, I think I've mentioned it, well, I've mentioned it recently because the one time this Denis Rincourt, he's a Canadian gentleman, obviously a French name, and he's talked a lot about a variety of issues, but the most relevant lately has been the mask issue. And he's shown where it's you know, causes self-harm, it's been completely ineffective, and all these kind of things. He's given good evidence, and of course he's silenced because he doesn't fit the narrative. But he made a comment that I think expressed, since I'm doing this in video, I'm going to just drop it in right now. So you can see from that comment, I think that describes very well what the issue, what the reaction is to somebody who, when you're shown that you followed something that was foolish, that was wrong, you have to do things to avoid saying, yeah, I have to admit that, and I have to repent. Ooh, repent of it. Repenting is scary, isn't it? I know this very well because things that I have repented of, a lot of them, I didn't want to. It was kicking and screaming. It was no way. I can't do this because it attacks my pride. And I'd be happy to go through the list. But the important thing in our case right now is the relationship between my wife and myself. And I'm afraid she may be stuck in that same situation because she's caught up in a particular, I can't admit anything why you abandoned your marriage. So even if you want to, you won't because of that pride. Let me remind you, the person who's going to do whatever he can to bend over backwards and heal the relationship with grace at the forefront is me. Perhaps one way to see that is because of our situation and because I did find out a few things more. I have specifically, and evidence is clear, avoided pursuing information about my wife and my family simply because I'm waiting for them to share it with me. And clearly they have it. The idea that, you know, the dad is part of the family and so forth, and there's a relationship between the husband and wife, obviously has been ignored and abandoned. So I kept away. That's why I didn't know about the Seven Oaks address until, 2 months ago or so, 3 months maybe. Recently. I didn't know because I didn't pursue it per request. Well, I found out some more things. And one of the things I thought about is until this weekend, I didn't know my wife had a car accident. And it was apparently, I'm guessing, in 2016, in December or so, because I have a picture from February of 2017, and she says it was 8 weeks. And, you know, I recognize that hand. I don't know, you know, and if we're talking weeks afterwards, she probably went through some difficulty for a long time. Think back. Think back of when issues had occurred, whether it was, I do know at least there's one case of an illness, but clearly birth of kids and whatnot, or things were where my wife was uncomfortable. Do you remember the care that her husband showed to her? You didn't have that care post that accident. And you actually kept it from me. Because, again, I didn't know about it until now. Which is, actually, it hurts. But so, I have found out about that. And obviously, there's nothing I can do about it. But then, of course, apparently, you know, one of the things, you know, I've said I can't recognize my kids. And it that hurts. Remember, the person who loves you is not your dad, nor is it you. It's me. And I'm trying to express care for my wife because I love her. And I will call you my wife because, as you quoted me, my Lord is not the state, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And he defines marriage very clearly. Marriage begins with sex and ends with death. Take me on that in serious dialogue. Go ahead. Others have. Especially your dad. You know, well, of course, your dad will take the scripture and just twist it to his ends. And I think his daughter is doing the same. Because obviously you did that with the Galatians passage and so forth. The very few things that I have from you. And the way you seem to be living now. Your God is pragmatism, not the Lord Jesus Christ. You make that statement that I've echoed many times, that Jesus is a redeemer, and you know, I agree with you. Yes, he is. For those who are part of the elect. And how is that shown? You know, if you show hate, you know, the 1 John 2, if you show hate to somebody, a brother, you're a liar. His words, not mine. His words. And so, are you a liar or a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's a hard question. It's a really hard question. And again, as I'm quoting Paul, have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? I don't want my wife to follow after pragmatism because the end is not good. Follow in obedience to Christ. And the way you see that, how well do you love? You know, including things like love your enemies. If you look at me, your husband, as your enemy, you're still called to love me. You sure don't. But I love you intensely. I see this picture that apparently Tirza came to visit you for your birthday in 2018. Well, in February 2018, excuse me, that's a different picture. And, you know, when I look at Tirza, I don't recognize her. And obviously it concerns me. See, one of the things I'm concerned about my kids, Eric Lee clearly has said, for a while she had nothing to do with me. Then we started building a relationship, especially around her book. And like I say, I have got several copies of the book, did that Rose of Dunce satire video and so forth that she was appreciative. She sent me the shirt. Wow. Oh, yeah, it's there. Okay, yeah, you can see it right there. The one that says, my favorite writer calls me dad. And of course, that's the Rose of Dunce cap underneath there, and then that's the purse for Charlotte. There was a relationship there, and it appears once she found out that the Keeping the Promise video was still available online, cut off communications. And obviously, reading her blogs and whatnot, she blames me for a lot of things, shows absolute hate. And my only response is, Erica Lee, I love you. And if you ever want a relationship again with me, I'm here for you. I'm not going to seek retribution. I'm seeking only reconciliation. So, Erica Lee, I'm here for you. Whenever. And the same with Jack. I'll repeat again. Jack is described in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10 directly. And it's my prayer for Jack that he will see 1 Corinthians 6, 11, such were some of you. Because again, as I point out, it's God's gift. It's not something you do. It's God's gift. So I'm hoping for that for Jack. And pray for it constantly because my door of dialogue, communications, reconciliation with Jack is there. Because he's my son and I love him. With Tirza, because obviously via Tirza is where I got clearly a bunch of the photos. Concern I've had for Tirza is my sense is, and of course without any dialogue, I can only vaguely get an idea. But my vague idea is that she wanted credentials because she wants the world. The lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's what she seems to be after. If I'm wrong, I would be delighted to know. But that's the sense I'm getting. And one of the ways you see that is it seems that her focus has been her appearance as opposed to, what's described in 1 Peter, the way a woman should be. Well, of course, the problem is she needs a role model. She's not given that, is she? But I see the picture of her apparently, because obviously she did the school in Chattanooga. She went out to Arizona and apparently spent some time there with Tirza, with Julia, or Julia went out that direction, and was clearly on February of 2018, visiting North Carolina, because that's the picture with Carol and Rachel, my wife, and what appears to be Tirza. it's amazing not knowing your own daughter. It's been very hard, but the good news about it is that. She has a picture, apparently. So have there been a lot of visits, or has there been a change of location? I don't know. Because in 2019, in January, a picture of five of my kids. It's delightful. It's absolutely delightful. Because I'm seeing some of my guys that I haven't seen in a long while. And the problem is, I don't recognize them. I can vaguely tell, yeah, they look like they're related to me. But I have to study to say, okay, I can see where that is. And then, of course, Tirza is kind of like, wow, that doesn't look like the Tirza of the pictures that I had. And Susanna, when I first saw pictures of Susanna, it was kind of like, who is that? I mean, Susanna's changed radically. And you know, it was, who is that? And one of my great concerns, in one picture, there's Gloria Jane in the background. And that's the last picture I've seen of her. Gloria Jane especially has been on my heart. Why? I don't know. She's my Gloria Jane. I love that girl. I have no idea about her. But it's a delight to finally have some pictures of them. It's fairly recent. But then we get to 2020. And again, it appears that Tirza was back in North Carolina. So again, I'm not sure if this is visits. But one of the things, because when I did try to get my wife's address, I did also find there was, you know, related things, related people, and one of the related parties was Julia. And showed Julia's address in Arizona. And then showed Julia's address in North Carolina. And that's interesting. Have they returned? And then I found that also Isaac's was there. But then he also apparently is back in North Carolina. But there was something like a 5-month difference in times. So what happened? Was it things collapsed or whatnot? And she came back first and Isaac followed, or something else? It's my Julia. I don't know. I'm concerned for my Julia. And the thing that amplifies that concern is the picture there with Tirza. And I'm guessing that's James. I'm not sure. And Julia. Julia's wearing a Chick-fil-A badge. The implication, obviously, is that she has a job. So she's not doing the job of a full-time mom. And that concerns me. What happened? I don't know. You know, then there's obviously, there's let's do the obvious. In August, we have a picture again with Tirza and Jack and others. So clearly, you know, obviously I don't recognize the place, but it, you know, indicates North Carolina. So what happened? What's going on? I don't know. And of course, Jack, you know, has been rather less than kind. But again, my response is, Jack, I'm here. I'm your dad. But apparently you had a party with the girls, and my assumption is that's James also in the picture. I don't know. With the girls. But then there's the picture on your birthday. And one of the things that really, the first thought I had is you are making a complaint about you feel threatened. And you know there has never been a physical threat against you by me. Zip, none. You may make them up in your mind in order to justify things. But you know, I've only shown care for you We've never had a shouting match. There's no reason, there's no rational reason for you to assume a threat. But then again, there is the issue, have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? When I look at that picture of my wife, I see somebody who looks like they've been self-abused, the way your face looks especially. The person who loves you is not your dad or you. It's me. And I just want to make it clear that invitation, well, you know, the invitation to reconcile remains. Reconciliation without retribution. It's a common expression I've used for years and years. I'm not after revenge. I'm not after, yeah, clearly not violence. What I'm after, bottom line, I want to pat you behind because I like you very much. But what I also see is you have this picture about additional earrings. And, you know, I wonder about that because, you know, I remember this teenage girl that I fell in love with, and she had the asymmetrical hair. And so, you know, there was a bit of provocativeness, and it seems that it's come back. But what concerns me is why? What is the motivation? Is it to be like the world? Is it to show rejection of your husband? What is it? And I really don't know. And you have what appears to be Tirza and Julia. Susanna, I think, all showing off your piercings. And it concerns me. Because when you do the provocative like that, you know, it's because, well, I'll bring it up because I think it's important. Let me remind you. 1 Peter 3:3. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear. Or maybe I suggest put stings in your ears. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit in God's sight is very precious. Which in God's sight is very precious. I thought that's what you had. The evidence is clearly, yeah, because of the next verse. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Do not fear anything that is frightening. I actually studied that a while back. Because that's what you're doing. You're fearing things that you perceive as frightening that aren't. Which means your fear of the things is showing that your trust in the Lord simply isn't there. Because you're living in fear. You have fear of me. You don't submit to your husband. You abandon him. Your adorning is external. Yes, Jesus is a redeemer to his elect. Are you showing that you're part of his elect? That should concern you. It scares the living daylights out of me because I love you. I love you intensely. One of the things that has haunted me is shortly before you abandoned me. I mean, perhaps within days, there was a dialogue with one of our kids, and something to do with election or being redeemed by Christ. And I made a comment that we can really not know the other person. And you know, I said at that time that you really can't know if I am part of the elect, and I can't really know if you are, because we can deceive each other. And those things have haunted me, because then you abandoned me and now set forth the evidence that you're not. That the Lord is just a tool. Lord, Lord, didn't we do wonderful things in your name? Because obedience to Christ simply isn't there. You know, when I approached your dad about reconcile with your brother, when I approached him about the meaning of Matthew 19 and he twists it, when he points to a man, he uses the Talmud. The Bible seems to be a tool. A tool in the sense of use it for your own personal gain, not something to submit to. And it seems you're following your dad. And I know those are hard words. Have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? Because this is the information set before me. What happens, you may recall, because I don't remember who it was, but when we were at Christ the King, somebody made an accusation against me. And it was assumed initially by the leadership that I was wrong. I don't remember what the issue is. I don't remember who made the accusation. And then I responded by quoting the proverb about the first who presents his case seems right until another comes forth to question him. And I came forth and questioned. And it was like, oops. And whoever that person was said, you know, he disappeared. So I was falsely accused, and those who, you know, that they realized, yes, he was indeed falsely accused. And it reminds me also when we were in Lower Alabama, in Enterprise, Eric Lee was falsely accused. You might recall that. And one of the elders actually came to talk with me, and I went and met with two of them at the church, and we talked about it, and then I investigated and reported back. This was a false accusation. I defended Eric Lee because she was accused of something that wasn't true. Again, I don't remember the issue. I don't remember the accuser, but I do remember I defended my daughter because I'm her dad, because the accusation was false. And fortunately, I had the opportunity both to defend myself at Christ the King and to defend Eric Lee while we were in Enterprise. Now I'm being accused. Been accused for years. MediView will not engage me. They simply call the police. Covenant Presbyterian will not engage me. When evidence is set before you, they simply remain silent. Cowards are silent. Your dad, after repeated requests, will not engage me. Will not engage me in any depth. He did get on the phone with me once years ago, but repeated requests to do so again, he says no. And when we've had some short dialogues, he simply, you're wrong, and goes off. Look at the depth that I'm offering in the arguments. And yes, I argue from the scripture, which, you know, if Jesus is the Redeemer, how do we know? Because the scripture says so. That's our reference. It's not a committee of men. It's not an institution that says so. And on that point, the Bible is true and the institutional church is a fraud video. I put a preface on it. It's on BitChute, YouTube, Brighteon, and of course, Kosolosky.org. So I've gone public with that, and with the intent of seeking a public dialogue on that with anybody in a paid position, because what'll probably happen, because I have had some conversations and it's kind of like, no, we can't do this. Why can't you do it? Because it destroys your foundation. It goes back to the comment made by Denis Rancourt about you have an investment in this. I know how many things I've had investments in. They're really hard to say, no, I was wrong. You know, like I run for Congress to say I was wrong and why. Not just, oh, it wasn't a good thing, but I violated the scripture and explain why. It hurts, but I was wrong. Not because I was the wrong person, because I did the wrong thing. It's hard to admit that, but I admit that. Reason I admit that, because I have matured, as I continue to say, to mature, to grow closer to perfection or completeness. Perfection is described by the Lord Jesus Christ. So in your growing closer to him, the willingness to say, I was wrong, I've repented, becomes much easier. Well, comes much more readily. It doesn't come any easier. But anyway, all that to say, it's set out before you. I am not a threat to those who claim Christ and live it. My wife at least used to claim Christ. She used to have the, her outward, when she stopped curling her hair and whatnot and let it grow long, because I admit it, I liked it. When her hair got to her behind, I liked it. Apparently she didn't. Or, again, as I point out, the head covering in 1 Corinthians 6 or 11. Is that right? Anyway, I got to find out now. You know, this is just, 1 Corinthians 11. If you read that, I think you can see where the idea of long hair is used as an analogy for the head covering of the wife being the husband. You know, the wife submits to the husband submits to the Lord. That's rather clear. And by the way, you know how many wives have husbands that contend from the scripture and seek the Lord the way this man does? You know how many, I didn't want to make an hour-long video. One of the things that I've pondered, because it's clear, it's abundantly clear. So many things in the scripture, you know, it says there are examples for us. We see that in Hebrews. There are examples for us. And, you know, one of the examples is when Paul does his, what I call the tongue twister, about, you know, I was shipwrecked, I had this, that, and the other. And because he says, I have to boast. If I boast, you know, because... And I think the reason I will contend, the reason that's there is we look at what he went through. We don't have to go through anything like that. So if we look at like what he went through and say, the Lord got him through that, what I'm going through is nothing like what he went through. So I have all the more reason to fight the good fight, to finish the course, and to keep the faith. Because I don't have to go through the difficulty he went through. And that's my plan, because the Lord has shown his grace to me, and it's the Lord who holds me. And my trust is that the Lord will continue to hold me. Because he said he will never leave me or forsake me. And as the relationship between the Lord and his elect is mirrored with the relationship between the husband and the wife, I will not leave or forsake my wife. I've said that repeatedly. But the other example I've thought about is the example of Joseph being sold by his own family to become a slave in Egypt. And, you know, it hits a little harder because obviously my middle name's Joseph. So that kind of amplifies it. And when I look at that story, I say, okay, this again is an example. In a sense, I got sold as a slave in a sense, very loose sense. Because again, what he went through, no, I don't have anywhere near that. And then what happened with him when he becomes, you know, second in command of the, of Egypt? No, I'm not gonna, you know, nothing like that. Because, you know, especially now, the political world doesn't want me. And you know, I've learned about, you know, the important thing I learned about is that there is only, as far as I've looked, and I've looked all over the place, there's only one command, one place where the Lord gives people a command to take authority over others. It's other animals. It's control over the animal kingdom. That's where we are the archy. We are the leader, where we get hegemony. That's where we get that's where we have the authority. It's over the animal kingdom. It's not over other people. There is no call ever for one person in obedience to Christ to take leadership over another. The only thing that's like that is the husband-wife relationship and then the parents-to-children relationship. But, you know, again, and as the man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, that authority is broken. There is a, you know, again, there's a difference between leadership and ruling. There is still a leadership in the sense that grandfathers can take and show examples and show guidance and so forth. They're called to do that, but they no longer have authority. But anyway, when I look at the example of Joseph, it was years and years, and then there's reconciliation. Reconciliation to a degree. Because, you know, in that case, it was Joseph was used to bring relief. And my concern is his brothers were still fearful of him. And that's not what I'm after. I'm after reconciliation where there's mutual love, my constant prayer for the relationship between my wife and myself is to be able to look at each other and embrace each other again with mutual love. I already have it. I have no idea about my wife. Okay. Before it gets excessively long, last point. To my kids, again, the statement that they heard from me, well, the young ones probably did. Obviously, Zadok didn't. Walter, I don't know if he would remember it. My home is your home. I will never cast you out. You've probably heard that line over and over again. That applies from Erica Lee down to Zadok. Anyone, if you ever need to reach out, if you ever need a place to stay, come. As long as I have a place to stay, you're invited. I will never cast you out. You're my kids. Even if it's after some difficulty, even if it is after you have been very offensive to the Lord or to me, grace is offered because I'm your dad and I'm a follower of Christ. And in the same way, but with a whole lot more intensity, I'm after reconciliation with my wife. I want my wife back because I love her. Slight tangent. Yesterday, talking with my neighbors, you know, I'm in a very strange place. We're on several acres, and I have a neighbor 5 foot away, but otherwise there's no one around us. Well, in, you know, good distance, because that's the double wide, and this was the garage, and now it's a 3-bedroom house. But so every once in a while we talk, and a year ago they got a couple dogs, and one of the dogs is a little bit on the violent side, and I've been bitten twice by dogs in my life. That one. He's bit me twice, and they are now talking about getting rid of it. You may recall we had a dog who bit one of our kids. It was, you know, it was the kid's dog. And I don't think it was more than an hour, maybe two. I put a bullet in his head. You may recall that. Because that's obedience to Christ, because that's what the Lord says. I mean, that's in the Old Testament about if an animal causes harm, you kill them. Very simple. They haven't yet. But twice now, because it happened again yesterday, he bit me. Point was, and of course, it bit me to the point that he broke the skin, and there was some bleeding. But I'm fine. But what happened is that happened, and I pulled my pant leg up, because, you know, I wear karate pants, easy to pull up. Pulled up my pant leg and saw, okay, yeah, he did break the skin. But when I looked down on my leg, especially standing, because obviously your leg is in more tense position, it was kind of like, those don't look like the legs I remember. My legs are ridiculous. The guy that my wife married was, you know, a software guy. He was physically weak. There was the periods where I would do some swimming and whatnot, and that helped, but it helped a little. I am easily the healthiest and strongest I've ever been in my life. When I saw my legs, it was kind of a reminder, wow, because I have very strong legs. You know, I do 256 jumping jacks to start my day because I'm on my way to do a million over 5 years. And I've passed the 5% point. And I'm slightly ahead of schedule. But a couple times now, and a couple days ago, I did it again. I started the morning with 512 continuous jumping jacks. The point there is I'm healthy. I'm healthy for a 20-year-old. I mean, literally, have any of the guys try it. Do 512 jumping jacks, continuous, nonstop. And not this wimpy thing, but, you know, all the way up. Try it. Can you do it? Can you walk 10 miles? Right now, it's just over 2 hours. I'm trying to get it under. 9 miles under 2 hours, not a problem. Can any of my kids do that? So just because, yeah, I'm ridiculously long. One other thing, there's one picture from August 19th again. Looks like Julia is driving and Tirza is the passenger. And behind Julia is Charlotte. And my assumption is behind Tirza is James. But then in the back, and it's hard to see, but there is, my assumption, it's Zadok, George, and Walter. I'm assuming that's the order, because I can't tell Zadok and Walter apart. But apparently George is wearing glasses. What is George like? He reached out to me. Does he know I reached back? Over and over and over and over again. What's George like? Is he a 20-year-old man or a 20-year-old kid? I want to know. He's my son and I love him. But that final point was to my wife. I am your husband, as the Bible defines, not the institutional church, not the state. I will easily make the argument. You know, when I make the argument about the Bible, marriage begins with sex and ends with death, because I've demonstrated previously, repeatedly, how the institutional church, with the Council of Trent in the 1500s and the Book of Common Prayer in the 1600s, took authority over the institution of marriage, which was defined in Genesis 1, not the Council of Trent, not in the Book of Common Prayer. You know, for better or worse, richer or poorer, Book of Common Prayer. You made the promise, You didn't live it, but you did make the promise. I'm living it. And of course, again, I'm welcoming reconciliation. But then the state took it over. The state as in the government. In the U.S., we see it, you know, and it's fascinating because to me, it's interesting how people are opportunistic. The Federal Reserve Act was put in place, and with that also came income taxes, federal income taxes, and by making federal income taxes, giving a discount to families, to a married couple, meant, oh, well, we have to know that you're married. So you need to have a state certificate to show that you're married. And then we had the American Universal Marriage and Marriage Licensing Act, whatever that was, in the 1920s, which was an objective to unify the states, which happened over time, so that, you know, we'd recognize each other's marriage license and, of course, certificates and so forth. None of it has anything to do with marriage, which opened the door to, you know, as I point out, you know, the conservatives rally around Ronald Reagan, and he was the one that signed the first no-fault divorce thing, which obviously you bought into. Then, you know, because the state is defining marriage, you end up with, well, now we can open the door to homosexual marriage and so forth, and the idea of polygamy, because obviously, again, the reason that some of the laws came in place back in the 1700s in the state of North Carolina, before we became a country, laws were put in place to limit marriages, so you wouldn't have black and white marriages, and you wouldn't have polygamy. I mean, it was North Carolina. Check the history; it's there. But you'll see polygamy come back. You'll see, you know, I've watched in Japan. There are now several thousand guys who marry dolls or animated characters. They call themselves fictosexual. You know, they're married to a fictional item, and they stay married to that fictional item, apparently, at least for years. It's sad. And these things, I mean, we'll see that in the U.S. because it's now a government thing as opposed to being defined by the Lord. The Lord defines marriage, not the state, not the institutional church. The Lord, the creator who stepped into his creation, said, this is marriage. And when man changes that, they're playing God. You remember the idea, you shall have no other God before me, Mr. Cross. When you twist Matthew 19, you're playing God. And when my wife follows suit, I pointed out how you lead women astray from 2 Timothy. That's what you're doing. But to my wife, reconciliation, the hand of reconciliation is still out to you. And I did some time back say, there are three options. One, you come here. One, I go there. The third, we go somewhere else. I really wonder, especially considering what you've done by going to the state and the aura you set up around there. If you were to reach out to me, you probably don't want to be there. Because if I show up there and we reconcile, people will know me as the guy who makes the case that the Bible is true and the institutional church is a fraud. And I defend that. Watch the video. I will defend that from Scripture. I also defend marriage begins with sex and ends with death. I'm going to be uncomfortable. And especially uncomfortable in the environment you're in right now. So the two other options are proposed. One, you come here, which, you know, that may be difficult. Again, as a point of that, you become to, you know, come to my play field here, and that may be difficult. But the other option is we go somewhere else. And the advantage of going somewhere else is all the tarnishing that has happened is radically reduced. But those options are on the table. And yes, I would be willing to return to North Carolina to reconcile with you, absolutely. Without a doubt in my mind. But I'm not going to abandon Christ to do that. And Christ commands us, not just suggests, commands us to proclaim obedience to him, to proclaim the good news. And I'm not going to stop. I've developed a little bit of a reputation for that. I'm not going to stop. Because I do claim Jesus as the Redeemer. And I show evidence of it. Because I strive to be obedient to Christ. And one of the ways I'm striving to be obedient to Christ is to reconcile with my wife. Dorothy Jane. The person you should be fearing, the person you should be concerned about, is not me, it's you. You're deceiving yourself. You're rationalizing. And there is, you have one thing that's very, very uncommon. You have a man who, when you abandoned him, he didn't abandon you. That's rare. And he continues, after all the things that have happened, to pursue reconciliation with you. You want evidence that I'm a follower of Christ. There's your evidence. I'm the guy who did Marriage Defined and Commitment Beyond. That's me. I'm the guy who's spending a whole lot of time investing and trying to reconcile with our kids and with you. And I've also put this on video. So it's there. Others have seen it. I hope one day you do. And even more, as I say figuratively, my hand has been reaching out to you for years. It still is. I'm the one that loves you, not your dad. I'm the one that loves you, and it's not you either. I'm the one that loves you. The Lord says, return to me and I'll return to you. Slightly different context. He has a different authority than I do. But his relationship to his elect is mirrored in the husband's relationship to his wife. Dorothy Jane, return to me and I'll return to you. My lady, my wife, I love you.